Good morning, everyone. Let's be going to Hebrews 4 together, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Well, over the last few weeks, we have considered the nature of sin. And looking at the biblical text, I've suggested that one of the most biblical, but I would also say helpful metaphors to understand sin is that of sickness. Sin came into the world as a sickness. It has sickened our desires, and now the whole human race is sick. We are sick, and we need a cure. But praise be to God that He did not leave us in the sickness, but He sent His Son to be our cure and our healer. And through the blood of Christ, we can find healing. This week and next week, I would like to try to discuss the antidotes and the cures and the healing that God gives us through Christ. A few weeks ago in our class, Bruce was talking about going to the doctor and said at times when you go to the doctor and they try to give you a cure, the doctor will respond, just eat right and exercise. It's really simple, isn't it? For any of us who have ever tried to eat right and exercise, there are those like Kirby that are blessed with the ability to eat 5,000 calories and lose a pound. But for the rest of us humans, it's typically not that simple. As a preacher, I feel like I can do the same. I can tell you, not eat right and exercise, yeah, those are good things to do. But I can tell you, read your Bible, pray every day. We even sing it to children, right? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. And I'm afraid that that advice can come across as callous as the doctor who says, just eat right and exercise, it's simple. So what I'd really like to do is take the principles that we've understood over the last 3 weeks about the sickness of sin and apply that to the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible study over the next 2 weeks. Today we're going to look at prayer. Next week we'll look at Bible study. We're going to begin in Hebrews 4, but I want to quote to you a verse from Jeremiah chapter 17, 9. Kirby texted me last week and asked why I hadn't used this verse yet. But Jeremiah 17, 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." Jeremiah 17, 9, "The heart is desperately sick." And Jeremiah, in promising of a healing covenant that will come, quick side note, whenever we are able to have another Blitz study, it will be Jeremiah. I realize that is the book of the Old Testament that I have neglected probably above all others. So we will get to Jeremiah at some point in a Blitz format. But in Jeremiah 17:9, Jeremiah the prophet says, "The heart is desperately sick. How will we find healing?" Well, this morning we are going to look at three different biblical texts in the New Testament that consider the healing power of prayer. We're going to look at Hebrews 4, we're going to look at James 5, and we're going to look at Romans 8, and try to consider how does prayer provide healing. Let's begin in Hebrews chapter 3 for context. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Notice the warning here. Whenever we were in Hebrews last year, we went back to this verse many times over because this is one of those key passages in the book of Hebrews. "Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." What is the warning the author gives to his readers? Do not have an evil, unbelieving heart. What was the problem in Jeremiah? A heart that was deceived and desperately sick. What is the problem that the Hebrew author is wanting to diagnose in his hearers? A heart. And really, from that perspective, then, we can think of sin as a heart disease. Sin is a heart sickness. But briefly, remember Patricio's analogy. Patricio has a hereditary condition for high blood pressure. That does not mean that he was born with high blood pressure. It means that as you grow older, you develop the sickness, much as we with sin. We are not born sick, but we develop it. As we mature and have the ability and the will to choose the good and refuse the evil, our hearts become sick. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be an evil, deceived heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Well, that's the warning. And that's much like the doctor telling you, don't gain weight. Don't let your blood sugar go up. Stay healthy. Thank you. That's very helpful advice. Well, how? Chapter 4, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, in our Hebrews class, this was probably the verse that I quoted more than any other, because this is one of the hearts of the book that speak to us. And in our prayer studies, we've come back to Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 many times over. But there's a nuance of this text I'd like for us to note. Verse 15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Does anybody want to guess how else that word could be translated, Bruce? It's sickness. In Matthew 8, verse 17, where Matthew quotes from Isaiah, he came to heal our sicknesses. In Greek, it's the exact same word used for weaknesses here in Hebrews 4, 15. The word here for weaknesses refers not to a lack of strength, but it refers to a sickness. And if you'll briefly look at your cross references, I did not notice this until last week. In most translations, for those of y'all that have centerline cross references or footnotes, you will actually find a reference there to Isaiah 53:3, where the servant was sick. What does it mean? Our high priest entered into our sicknesses to bear our sicknesses upon himself that we may be healed. And here is the glorious good news of prayer. We have a high priest who knows our sickness. Chapter 5, verse 1. Every high priest chosen among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. The high priest himself is beset, again, that word, with sickness. When Jessica and I were in the NICU, our parents did not leave the boys for literally 1 minute the entire 2 weeks' lifetime. And we had an experience with a great many physicians and a great many nurses. The one that had the most lifelong impact on us was a nurse who herself had had a son in the NICU for 6 months. Many of the nurses were just callous and heartless. Some, oh, I just don't ever want to see again. But there was one, her name was Laura, who had a son who had been in the NICU for 6 months. And she helped Jessica and me in probably the most difficult day of our lives, because she knew the sickness. In prayer, we approach our Heavenly Father through a high priest who knows our sickness. Jerry has recommended a commentary on James that she has been using for her study, and I've been reading through it recently, and it's a treasure. I read a quote this past week from it, and I'd like to share it with you. God is holy communion within God's own self. In Christ, we glimpse this communion in the heart of God. And we also realize that this holy one in three, sounds familiar? Seeks communion with us. In prayer, we enter into this communion as we acknowledge that God is at once the source of our prayer, the one whom we pray, and our companion in prayer. When we turn to prayer, before we even open our lips, we are surrounded and suffused by the mystery of the Holy Triune God. Who is the God we encounter in prayer? God is source, goal, and companion in prayer. God is source, goal, and companion in prayer. The Holy Triune God that envelops us as we pray, drawing us, if we open ourselves to it, into even deeper communion with God. True prayer is thus participation in God. And in prayer, we enter into communion with a triune God who knows our sickness. Who knows our sickness. So, point one. Why does prayer offer healing? Because through prayer we commune with our high priest who knows our sickness and is gentle toward the sick. James 5. James is going to offer a supplemental perspective on the healing power of prayer. James 5, verse 13. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. The second power that we find in prayer is the power of one another. For those of y'all that had the chance to listen to the podcast that I sent out last night from Brian and JD about this passage, they made a few observations I'd like to highlight. The first is the phrase in verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, I have said in a great many Bible classes that have debated whether this is talking about physical sickness or spiritual sickness. But when this text is read carefully, did you notice what James says? Pray for one another, not that you may be forgiven, but pray for one another that you may be healed. If we merely but see sins as the bad things we do, this verse doesn't make much sense. But if we conceive of sin in the singular as the sickness that plagues humanity, this verse resonates with power. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Observation 2. Is anyone sick? Verse 14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Again, Brian brought this point up in the podcast, and I'd like to bring it to our attention. Again, I've sat through a great many Bible classes that have debated, should we do this? Is this a first century example? But I think in those debates, we've often lost what this passage is really about. As Brian pointed out, what this text is really getting at, if you're sick, don't stay by yourself, but go to people who love you. And they will put their hands upon you, and they will pour their prayers over you, and you will be surrounded with the love of God's people. Now, we in our class can discuss whether or not this is a first century example, etc., and I'm happy to have those discussions. But the real principle of the text that we need to weigh is that this is calling for us to go to one another for healing. Whenever I'm sick, Jessica will attest to this, and she'll probably raise her hands and amen in a moment. I am miserable and grumpy, and I want to be left to myself. Yeah, Mom raised her hand too. But when we're sick, you know what we really need? We need one another. We need one another. Sickness makes us turn inward. Grace makes us turn outward. Observation 3 comes in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Again, Brian pointed this out, and I never thought of this, but it makes so much sense. This verse to me has always seemed like a... So really, James, thank you for telling me that. Like, I don't feel good, pray. I feel good, sing. Okay, thanks. I think that's pretty natural. But what if this verse is not talking to individuals, but it's talking to the collective? You know what this means? This means if Randy is suffering, I'm called to pray. If it means that Bruce is excited that he has a new job, we're going to sing praises. It means if Diane's having a rough day, we're going to pray. It means if Duke is excited, we're going to sing. Again, notice that everything in this text is speaking to the collective. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Why pray? Because through prayer we find the grace of one another. And in the people of God, we are continually seeking one another's healing. Final text, Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. So let's summarize where we are. Why does prayer offer healing? Two suggestions so far. The first is in prayer, we enter into communion with a high priest who knows our sickness. Suggestion two. Through prayer, we find the grace of one another, a people who seek our healing. But it's about to get even better. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our... I'm not even going to read the ESV. Therefore, the Spirit helps us in our sicknesses. The Spirit helps us in our sicknesses. For we do not know how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Why pray? Because through prayer we enter into communion with the Spirit. As we pray, the Spirit himself is interceding and advocating and groaning with us. Notice the paradox in this text. I taught this in a Camp Zoom about a year ago, and Brandon Hawk pointed this out to me. There's a paradox here in Romans 8:26. Verse 26, we do not know. But Romans 8:28, we know. There's a tension here. Romans 8, verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When I was still with Ben's prayer group, probably a year and a half ago, we were talking about praying for redemption over rescue, which again briefly means praying that God does not take us from trial, but through trial. And Ben made the point that often in prayer, we like to go to God asking for solutions. But that perhaps may be a bit arrogant of us to assume that we know what the solution is. Perhaps we just need to ask for the Spirit to groan with our problems. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. I'm going to take my series full circle. How did sin enter into God's good creation? By Adam and Eve taking that which was desirable to give them the knowledge. How have we been brought back to God? By the servant becoming undesirable and us not knowing what to do, that God may bring us back into communion with him. The grace of God has destroyed our pride. But even when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit himself will intercede for the saints according to the will of God. One tangential observation I would like to make about this verse. In our Trinity study about a month ago, Helen had asked the question, how do we know the Spirit's a person and not a force? Did you notice verse 27, what attribute is given to the Spirit? The mind of the Spirit. This is the same word used in Romans 7:25 that I talked about last week. With my mind, I serve the Spirit of God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. The mind of the Spirit himself is interceding and advocating for the saints according to the will of God. And now we have to take it full circle. Did y'all notice how the Spirit is interceding for us? According to the, that's it, Randy, desire of God. Our flesh longs for what will make us sick. Like my neighbor's dog, who has kidney failure and wants to eat aluminum foil, our flesh is sick and longs for things that will kill us. But the Spirit is interceding for us according to the desire of God. In Gethsemane, the Lord prayed, not my will, but your desire be done. And there's a great deal we don't know. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. We often don't even know what our problems are, but let alone what the solution should be. We don't know how the Spirit is interceding for us. We don't know how the Spirit is advocating for us. There's a great many things we don't know, but this is what we do know. I'm going to give you my own twist on Romans 8:28. I preached on this about a year ago. Romans 8:28. But we know that God synergizes all things to work together for good through those who love him. God is causing and synergizing, it's the word in Greek there, synergos. God is synergizing all things. The suffering of the saints, Revelation 12, Matt, fits so perfectly. The groanings of the Spirit, the desires of God. The Spirit himself is synergizing those together to work for good in ways that we can't even know. God is at work in our pain. God is at work in our sickness. God is at work healing. And what is the Spirit Himself doing? He is groaning. He is groaning. I'd like to close this morning by taking us back to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. As you turn there, let's summarize. Why does prayer offer healing? Because through prayer, we commune with our high priest who knows our sickness. Through prayer, we commune with one another who grant grace and healing. Through prayer, we commune with the Spirit who is groaning in our sicknesses according to the will of God. I hope that the biblical answer is far more empathetic than eat right and exercise. A few weeks ago, I kind of transitioned from one series to another by looking at Aaron in Numbers 16. Numbers 16, verse 46. And Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put fire on it and carry it from the altar and lay incense on it and carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. So Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. God called Aaron to enter into the sickness of the people to provide healing. And in prayer, God has rushed right into the midst of our plague. Our high priest has entered our sickness. One another rushes into our weaknesses. And the Spirit enters into our weaknesses. God has entered to make us well. And that is good news. Amen. Over the last few weeks, you may have realized that you are sick. Not merely that you have done a few bad things in your life, but you're sick.